We present episode 5 of Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon. Fonsy Doherty, chairman of the Ballylennon Development Association, pursues his campaign to have the historic courthouse demolished rather than converted as an art centre, hoping that a new art centre will be built on his land. Gard Gallagher, encouraged by music teacher Vivian Bull, continues to plan an opera festival, with funds donated by a wealthy English settler, Aubrey Frawley. However, Fonsy Doherty, with the McConkie sisters who run the shop and telephone exchange, plan to take over the festival themselves. Ballylennon, 1953.
Vera, will you throw a few spuds to the pullets? It's time I opened the shop.
That Marty hen's clucking again. The cock mustn't have told her it's August.
Heather!
Oh, there's Brady's wee lad delivering the Vindicator.
I'll douse her in the pond. That'll knock the clock out of her. She should be laying again by now.
There might be something in the paper about the festival.
Did you send a report to the Development Association meeting to wee Stompy Bonner?
I did.
Oh, there's the switchboard. I'll feed the hens later.
Ballylennon call office, hello.
Hello, Miss McConkie.
You're early on the phone, Mr. Doherty.
Did you see the Vindicator this morning?
No, but there's a bundle just arrived out in the shop. Is it good news or bad?
Oh, good enough. Festival for Ballylennon announced. A cultural and musical banquet.
Those were Muriel's very words. Stompy Bonner has reported it right.
Step dancing, Kayleigh bands, and a treasure hunt for a very valuable prize are only a few of the attractions promised by the chairman of the local development association, Mr. Alphonsus Doherty. There you are now.
Are there any other names given?
Oh, hi. Prominent among the busy organisers, our teacher, Miss Vivian Bowl, whose musical talents are acclaimed far and wide, and the ever-popular Gard Bernie Gallagher, whose fine baritone is in demand at many a charity concert.
So he got their names in too. Good for wee Stumpy.
Well, I can't complain about lack of publicity. I suppose we'll have to put up with some of that highbrow stuff.
Sure, huh? There's a very limited public for that.
And Gard Gallagher, for all his high C's and low do's, knows very little about it, as far as I can judge. You know, in my opinion, he doesn't know his areas from his elbow.
Mr. Doherty, you're a terrible cheer. But the two of them should be satisfied they've been given such prominence. It might put a stop to their whinging.
Stila Juva, la facien farina, la gente paga, eri.
Oh, it's yourself, Miss Bowl.
Loosening up the vocal cords, Gard Gallagher.
Oh, I didn't know I had an audience.
I'm having a wee look at the courthouse during my lunch break. The masonry doesn't look dangerous to me. I've got a party coming to clean up this shrubbery. The Ulster Georgian Society have offered to spend a weekend making the place look presentable, and they're going to hold a cricket match between two of their branches in Georgian costume to raise funds for the restoration of the building.
A cricket match?
Mr. Frawley has offered the big lawn at Killiecrumper Hall.
You know, Miss Bowl, I'd love to watch a game of cricket. I've heard it on wireless, but I've never seen it played.
Oh, it's a wonderful game.
You might inform the sergeant officially at the barracks that there'll be traffic, and he sent me up there.
I will.
They have stops instead of goes, you know.
Did you read this week's Vindicator by any chance?
Oh, not yet. I usually sit down to it of a Friday evening.
Well, I don't want to spoil your day, but there's a statement about the festival from the Development Association and no mention of opera.
Do you tell me that?
We're both mentioned, but you wouldn't think from reading it that the festival was our idea at all.
No opera?
Not a word in the Vindicator anyway.
Well, I changed over to the Derry Standard. And I'm going to resign from the Development Association.
That would only be succumbing to pressures. We'll make it our business if there's some kind of operatic content. A singing contest or something like that. And remember, too, that we have the best card in our hands.
What's that, Miss Bo?
Mr. Frawley's financial support.
Huh?
And he's not going to put his money into hurdy-gurdy's dart competitions and wee girls tap dancing.
full of blast and beery air.
Ah, good morning, Mrs. French O'Dowd. And Mr. French O'Dowd. Oh, it's not often we see you in the town.
Can you rise to a pot of tea for two?
I can, of course. Take a seat inside in the lounge and I'll see if Josie's in the kitchen. That's the eldest daughter.
Oh, and Mr. Doherty. Huh? I suppose a scone would be out of the question.
It would, I'm afraid, Mrs. But we might have some nice wee fancy biscuits. We keep them for the days the kids come in here for their dancing class, you see.
I bet they're the kind made with damp pink cotton wool.
I wonder why he never opens the windows.
To save on fuel bills. Keep a fog in.
We can sit here. Oh, oh.
Do you think we really need B-days?
Ask the tourism committee.
I don't think it's quite fair of them to specify exactly what improvements we should make to our own home.
Mm, they know perfectly well we're on our uppers. The fact that we own a huge country house...
And speak the way we do.
...doesn't deceive them for a minute. They think that once they hand over the lolly, we'll blow it on the Gee-Gees or something.
They're not very trusting.
Look at mine host here. It said in the paper he was getting an upgrading grant, too. Can you imagine him not putting the money to quite different purposes than making the hotel habitable?
Yes, it is. Here you are now. Josie, put the tray down in front of Mrs. Williams.
Oh.
Hi, Josie found the wee pink biscuits hidden away somewhere.
Oh, how lovely. Thank you, Josie.
Have you enough of milk?
Yeah. Goodness. There's a blue bottle in it.
Oh. Don't touch it out with the hand, Josie. Catch it on the knife. Right, there you are.
Thank you, Josie.
Good girl, Josie. Doing a bit of shopping around the town?
Oh, a bit. We've been tramping around all the hardware shops looking for B-days.
Did you get what you were looking for?
Well, we tracked down two, but we've got seven bedrooms at Malik Inchigo.
You see, we've got this grant to do up all the bedrooms to modernize our B&B and attract lots of tourists. Apparently the way to do it now is to install thousands of B-days.
Oh, modernizing the bathrooms is all the rage now, I hear.
Yeah, we only charge 8 and 6 for B&B. Now we'll be able to charge 10 bob.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
Whatever do you mean?
I mean, I'm not sure there's going to be a tourist boom, new plumbing or no new plumbing. The dollar's going to fall. That's what President Eisenhower was warning about in the wireless.
Mm. It'll be the worse for you, then.
Oh, no, that's entirely different. I'm in the town. You're away out in the country. Whatever tourists there are, and there won't be many, will automatically stop in the town.
Well, we read in the Vindicator that you're getting a very substantial grant to renovate your premises.
Quite correct. The Vindicator never lies. Ah, but I'm going to have to put a lot of my own money into it as well. Aye. And you know, I mightn't even go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Doherty is showing a proper sense of caution.
Perhaps he has a message for us.
Oh, indeed I have. Huh? Tread careful. And I'll be taking my own advice too, shall we?
And we're very grateful for it. Darling, do have one of those lovely pink biscuits that Mr. Doherty has brought specially for us.
I'm not used to such treats.
Ballylennon call office, number please.
Hello, Miss McConkie. Can you put me through to Ballylennon 10, please?
Hold the line, Miss Bold.
Hello, Frawley here.
A call for you, Mr. Frawley. You're through?
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Frawley.
Yes?
This is Miss Bowles speaking, Vivian Bowles. I have another little request for you.
Whatever can it be this time, Miss Bowles?
Well, I hate to ask you since you've been so generous over the opera plans and the cricket, but I thought you might be able to help.
You're starting a ballet company?
No, that's not it. It's the cricketers themselves, actually. They're doing this for nothing, helping to save our courthouse from vandalism. And naturally, we'll have to put them up for the night. In fact, 2 nights. I was wondering...
Oh, yes, they can bring sleeping bags and doss in the octagon.
Oh, that's very...
The more, the merrier. If they're bored, they can play musical bumps all night in the gazebo. Operatic bumps, I suppose. Guard Gallagher can provide the cabaret.
And I'll play the accompaniment.
Sounds perfect. They wouldn't get it half so good at Lord's. Goodbye, Miss Ball.
Thank you, Mr. Frawley.
Shirley Arms?
Mr. Doherty.
How is that you, Miss McConkie?
Do you know what I'm just after over... I'm just after hearing?
What?
Something very strange going on between Vivian Bowles and Mr. Frawley up at Killycromper.
Oh, in the nature of...
No. I wouldn't mention a thing like that over the phone.
Well, what is it then?
Talk of a cricket match and people lying around in sleeping bags.
Well, Canon Field wouldn't be too pleased to hear about that.
You wouldn't need the gift of second sight to divine that they're doing some work in the old courthouse.
They've no legal right to do anything to the courthouse. Since it was vacated, the building's vested in the Board of Works like all ruins around the country.
That fact won't get in the way of a campaign to have it restored.
No more than it'll get in the way of having it knocked.
Well, I suppose not.
There's better ways of getting things done than holding campaigns.
Such as what, Mr. Doherty?
I get a demolition order.
What's that?
There's a Dangerous Buildings Act. You can have a building knocked if it's a danger to the public, and it is. So if it fell over, it'd crush half the population of the whole county. Let alone a cricket team.
It seems the obvious solution, if it works.
It'll be made to work. I'll have a talk with Joe McMonaghan. He can talk to his colleague, the Minister for Local Government, and get the order. These cricketers... cricketers. They'll arrive and find a heap of rubble.
Doherty could be right about the tourism picture, Primrose.
Mm.
Are we wise to put in 7 WCs that might never be flushed?
Oh, if only we could spend the money on having the dry rot removed.
Or the flues made to stop smoking.
Do you know what we have totally forgotten?
Hmm?
I said to Aubrey Frawley that we'd drop in for drinks on our way back from the village.
Drat, I can hardly tramp over his Persian carpets in muddy boots.
It's time we learnt the realities of country life. He's establishing Belgravia in Ballylennon and thinks that cows outside the window instead of taxis make him a country gent. Anyway, he has a housemaid and a valet to sweep up the mud.
I don't think he's a valet. He's a butler. And he's faintly sinister.
Mm.
If we have all those bathrooms and the new central heating, we can advertise. Rather than wait for people to turn up on their bikes when there's nothing in the larder. Paying guests welcomed in historic Georgian mansion with 7 moons.
The mansion's off-putting. Country house, the English like that. Or home for the Americans.
I think there may be something in what that pale young man from the tourism committee said.
About creating attractions from our natural resources.
But I'm not going to run all over the bog meadow behind Emily, picking up children who fall off her back.
Oh, I could do quilting weekends. That would appeal to the English, too. They've all gone so urban since the war. Oh, watch! It's the next turn for the Duchess of Frawley's.
He might ask us to stay to lunch. In fact, I'm sure he expects that we'll expect to be asked to stay to lunch. He always has salmon and strawberries.
Better than a boiled egg and prunes.
Good morning, Miss McConnell.
Good morning, Miss Bowles.
Do you sell croissants?
What's that, Miss Bowles?
You know, bread rolls in the shape of a crescent. They originated in Turkey, but the French made them their own after the Crusades.
Oh, you'd need to go to Hazlitt's Fancy Bakery for those, Miss Bowles. I think if you're that low for a sliced pan.
Or vol-au-vent cases.
No, I don't have cases of any description. Only carrier bags.
Oh, no. I mean pastry cases. I'm going to do some crab canapes.
Hazlitt's again for that.
It's picnic foods I'm looking for.
Like sardines. There's only one tin left. Would you be wanting more?
Yes, I'd want a few dozen. I'm organising an outing, you see.
Oh, very nice. Is it for the Brineys?
No. Actually, it's an architectural group from Belfast. They're going to do a clean-up at the courthouse.
I didn't hear about that. Was it on the Vindicator?
No, but it will be. I gave the particulars to Mr. Bonner. They're going to such trouble. I want to show that we appreciate their efforts. Mr. Frawley's kindly paying for the food. He's such an asset to the community.
Well, I'm sorry I've none of the things you want. But I've Jacob's cream crackers here in the tin.
I'll call back for them if I don't find what I'm looking for. Goodbye for now, Miss McConkie.
Goodbye, Miss Bowles. Vera?
Yes, Vera?
Did you ever eat a crab's canapé?
I didn't know crabs had them.
She'll have to go to Derry for those.
Who?
Vivian Bowles, come out here to me.
What was she going on about?
You were right. She's organizing a picnic of blow-ins to clean up the courthouse.
Did she admit, isn't it?
Admit? She came in here to tell me. She knew well I'd no crab's claws or crescent cakes. She came on purpose to get me news of the progress of her campaign.
Well, Mr. Doherty put the kibosh on that. I was on the phone to him, and he's getting a demolition order.
Good man, Fonsy.
Mr. Frawley's in on it, too. The clean-up and the cricket match.
Why couldn't he stay at home in England, where he wouldn't be doing any damage? These wealthy people have no sense.
But that's why we should be keeping in with the same Aubrey Frawley.
Scrumptious.
Mm.
Did you get it, Leslie?
A little boy came to the back door, I believe. Straight out of the river, he said.
I guessed it was poached.
Yes, grilled, actually.
Caught illegally. There's a long tradition of salmon poaching here.
Oh, good Lord. Do you think I'll be arrested?
Eyes are closed to that kind of thing.
And do you know who the leading poacher was when he was in short pants?
Your coachman?
Mm-hmm.
No? I give up.
Guard Gallagher. He used to appear in our kitchen with two or three fish on a hazel rod.
You mean the village bobby with the penchant for Italian opera?
He has got a very fine voice, the poor pet. When he was a boy soprano, he won medals at every fesh in the country.
Fesh?
Competitions in folk music. People like us aren't supposed to be interested, but of course we are. I used to enter for recitations. Did they dare to kill Owen Roe O'Neill? Yes, they slew with poison him whom they feared to kill with steel.
How fantastic. We must get up an evening.
What do you think, Aubrey, about attractions for our rapidly expanding paying guest trade? Do you think I should give demonstrations of blancmange making?
I should give demonstrations of whatever you do best.
Distilling rhubarb gin.
Mm. I did taxidermy at school. I have a couple of pheasants in a glass case from that era.
You could give demonstrations of stuffing all kinds of things.
He used to stuff hedgehogs, but the spines made it rather difficult.
I keep a few bees. I could turn them on the guests we wanted to get rid of.
I'll send for you if I get bored with my cricketers.
Cricketers?
They're staying the night in the Octagon. The redoubtable Miss Bowl refused to recommend the Swilly Arms to him.
Beg your pardon, sir.
Thank you, Matlock. Yeah, excuse me. Do help yourself to some more.
Why didn't she recommend us?
She probably knows our drains smell.
They don't when there's a wind.
Everyone in the village knows our drains smell.
The cricketers don't. I'm going to see this one through.
Don't annoy Aubrey. He probably likes having them sprawled all over the Octagon floor.
Yes, but what about them? They'd be far more comfortable with us. Those floors are marble.
Well, don't annoy him.
Oh, think of the money, Jonathan. The cricket team at 8 and 6 pence a head. That's £4.13 and 6. We'll be able to pay the electricity bill.
Good evening,
Miss McConkie.
Miss Bowles. I said I'd come back if I didn't find some of the things I was looking for. Actually, I'm going to have to get a catering firm and Letterkenny to send the delicatessen, but I'd like a half a pound of digestives.
Certainly, Miss Bowles. The forecast on the wireless isn't too good, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm sure the Ulster Georgian Society will bring their weather gear. These new plastic raincoats are so wonderfully light for summer showers.
Yeah, 7 and 8 and 2.
A shilling.
Mm. And then 4 and 3 pence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'd better be getting along.
No rest for the wicked.
Mm. Oh, do you keep typewriter ribbons?
McDonald's on Bridge Street.
Oh, yes, of course. I have to type out the speeches, you see.
Indeed.
As I mentioned, we're cleaning up the exterior of the courthouse. I wanted the visitors to be appropriately thanked by a local dignitary.
That's only right.
So I've asked Mr. Terry White to come and say a few words.
I believe he's a good speaker.
He's moved house, didn't you know? He's come to live in the constituency.
Oh.
It was on the Vindicator.
I must look it up.
Mr. Doherty found him a nice old railway man's cottage near the station. He's having it extended in the same style. Very tasteful.
Oh, I'd say it would be that.
Well, I'll be going.
Good evening, Miss Bowles.
Good evening.
Dear?
Yes?
She was in again. This time to let me know they've got Terry White to make a speech at the courthouse.
It'll be a funny speech when he arrives to find there's no courthouse there.
She said Fancy Doherty had found a house in the town for Terry White.
Fancy Doherty found a house for Terry White? She must be off her head.
And he never told me about it. Oh, but then, I suppose a poor man has to live.
You got a grand day for the cricket, sir. There were showers forecast, but not a sign of it.
It's quite perfect, Constable. I'm so glad I went to the trouble of reinstating the lawn last year.
And the togs are magnificent, but I thought that they always wore white.
It's a costume match, you see, Georgian. It's what they'd have worn 150 years ago.
Do you know what it puts me in mind of, sir? The Marriage of Figaro.
Yes, that would be about right. Though I don't suppose Mozart was familiar with cricket.
Oh, no, sir. His sport was billiards. He used to play billiards with the retainers of the Archbishop at Salzburg until the Archbishop fired him for interfering with that young one.
Really? How splendid.
Oh, yes, he was a champion at the billiards. Was the same Wolfgang. La chitara la mano... La midre d'ici.
Well caught.
I believe there's a fine resident acoustic in your hall, sir.
The Oval Salon? I should think so. This festival Miss Bowles promoting will be a good chance to try it out.
I'd love to have a chance to hear it, sir.
Why don't you go in there now? The room at the end of the colonnade. There's a piano.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. And I'll keep a good watch on the car parking.
Of course.
Jonathan, there you are. I spoke to the wicket-keeper of the other team. He's delighted to come to us. Didn't relish the thought of the marble floor.
Good.
He's already spoken to the scorer. He's coming too. And he'll ask the whole team when they break for lunch.
Did you ask if they'd want to cook breakfast?
Sporting people always do.
I'll have to get up early to light the range. I hope the hens have laid. It'd be dreadful to have to buy eggs.
Yes, I know.
La la la, la citrello mano, la midretisi.
I thought I'd find you here.
Miss Bull, would you listen to this? La 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 la. Isn't it the bee's knees, fly's elbows rolled into one?
It's a great sound, right enough. I had a word with Mr. Frawley. He agrees entirely that it'd take a year to get a whole opera going, but he's all for an operatic competition. And as he's paying the piper, no one can complain that it wouldn't be right for this year's programme.
An operatic competition?
He says any number of his friends in the music world will be only too delighted to act as adjudicators.
An operatic competition? I'll put my name down for that. La 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 la. La 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 la. La la la.
Ballylennon call office.
Miss McConkie, is your sister there?
She is. Hold on. Muriel, Mr. Doherty's on the line. Take it in here on the extension.
Here's the list for the travelling salesman. Will you add 2 tins of Marietta's and a carton of those things for removing superfluous hair?
Hello, Fancy.
Bad news, Muriel.
You don't say.
I do. I failed to get the demolition order.
No.
I rang the Department of Posts and Telegraphs. Joe McMonagle was out at the reception to announce a new stamp vending machine. When I got him, it was late. And when he rang looking for his colleague in local government, wasn't he out opening an artificial insemination plant in Dundalk? So he said to leave it till Monday. And it's Monday, the August bloody bank holiday.
Oh, how did I forget that? They're all out at Killiecrum for playing cricket.
So the building will be left standing for Terry White to put it on the record in his speech that it ought to be preserved. Oh, he'll get great publicity for that.
That's a real gunk, Mr. Doherty.
What's that?
It's Vera. She's listening in on the extension. Do you know what I wanted to ask you, Fonsey? How is it you, with your party affiliations, got a house for Terry White?
The answer's very simple, Muriel. It's my job as an auctioneer and estate agent to find houses for anyone who comes into my office. Now, don't imagine. I hadn't Joe McMonagall's interest in my mind. Didn't I get Terry White a house within the area of your sister's exchange? Isn't that what Joe was looking for? So as the calls could be,
intercepted? He hasn't applied for a line yet.
Oh, but he will. He won't be able to do without the phone. Doesn't that, Makes sense, Muriel?
I suppose it does.
In fact, it's the one bright spot in a bad week, ladies. Didn't I meet those two French hoodoos of Muller Inch ago buying up all the sanitary fittings in the town to get our B&B upgraded? Aye. And I haven't even seen a penny of the grant money.
Don't mind those French O'Dowds, Mr. Doherty. They'll never be a rival to you, whatever way they tart up their old house. They haven't a clue. Well, I don't know about her, but he couldn't tell a black crow from a white one.
They'll be drawing stumps after the next over. Perfect day. Reminds me of Harrow. Never thought there'd be anything like it over here.
I always hated cricket. I could never see the ball coming. Used to get my teeth knocked in.
What school? Isn't that a Radley tie?
No, my school was in Dublin. Mm. Modelled on your English public school system, but it didn't work here. Mm. Same vices, but none of the virtues.
I'd better see to the teams. Join for a glass of fizz in the Oriental Room in 20 minutes, will you?
Oh, thanks. I must find Primrose.
Jonathan!
Oh, you startled me.
I've been standing behind that cypress hedge for the last 10 minutes trying to catch your eye while you rabbited on about cricket balls and school ties.
Why didn't you join us?
How could I? We've been let down, badly let down.
By whom?
By everyone. By those damned cricketers. But especially by that ghastly parvenu Aubrey.
Whatever do you mean?
I had the whole B team nicely chatted up. I agreed a rate of 8 shillings. The bus was going to deliver them to the house after they'd had an evening in the pub. Well, they're not coming.
You mean they prefer to lie in rows and sleeping bags in that octagonal place?
Exactly. They've just discovered it's free, as against 8 bob, and they're getting a champagne breakfast.
How revolting, the home county.
Aubrey has everything tied up. He's helping that dreadful bowl woman and poor guard Gallagher to run an opera singing competition. I bet it'll be a bloody disaster.
In episode 5 of Barry Lennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonty Doherty was T.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie was Margaret Darcy, and Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker. Vivian Bull was Anya McCartney, Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt, Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley, Aubrey Frawley, Dominic Letts, Jonathan French O'Dowd, Wesley Murphy, and Primrose French O'Dowd, Marcella Reardon. The music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes, and the series is directed by Owen O'Callaghan.